It's me, Nigzy, over F6P with your weekly dose of On Deck Circle podcast. I totally forgot to shut that light off. So after I'm done here, I'm going to shut that light off. Terribly sorry. I also forgot my headphones. Tough day. Before we get started, I got something serious to talk about. So the Dynasty Baseball community is a tight-knit group. And unfortunately, this past week, we lost somebody that was a very close friend of mine. He was in one of my home leagues. His name is Dave Foster. Dave leaves a beautiful family, and it's incredibly tough because he was so young. It was not his time. But huge Braves fan, huge Redskins fan, huge Dynasty Baseball fan. So I'm going to send out a tweet later with his GoFundMe, and if anybody could donate, that'd be great. But we are back to your regular scheduled program, and I need to have my man Jason up right now because I have a very important question. Hello, Jason.
Nick, how's it going?
It's going, man. So, question number one for you. What was your first job?
Pizza maker.
Pizza maker?
Yeah.
Where? Wait, was it like deep dish?
No, it was like a mom and pop shop here called Jake's Pizza. It was actually my neighbor. The guy owned it.
Jake?
I was like fifth. Jake, yeah. That's Jake's Pizza.
You knew Jake?
No, Jake was not the guy that owned it. It was just like, I don't know. That was the name of it. And yeah, I was 15, got a worker's permit. It's my neighbor. He's like, you want a job? I'm like, sure. Which at the time was great. But then also there was a lot of kickbacks that sucked about it. You know, yeah. Friday, Saturday nights, you're working until midnight as a 15-year-old, which that's not fun. But yeah, it was kind of cool just to be the pizza maker.
We have a special guest. Hey, Dad. Yeah, it's the baseball podcast.
Shout out Nick's dad.
Yeah, Christ.
Should have interviewed him for what your first job was.
My first job was very similar to yours. I worked at a restaurant and I made pizza boxes.
Oh, okay.
So I was the delivery driver and I would eat the food occasionally. So like if you got like some nachos, I'm taking some nachos off the top while I'm and someone stole. Do you know like the big sign? So I had to drive my Subaru.
Yeah, yeah, the sign on top.
Someone stole my sign on top and they took it out of my pay.
Whoa, that's probably expensive.
They took $75 out of my pay. So that was tough. What do you think Dave did?
That's a good question. Paperboy.
Yeah,
I mean, that was my first job too, but that's not even really considered a job. That's like a childhood like thing you just do as a childhood is be a paperboy.
Yeah. Mine just wasn't legal. So we're just saying. All right, Dave, come on in, my guy. I need to hear your answer and then I'll have a question for you.
My first job?
Yeah, and then I'll have your
I mean, it's pretty basic, but it was fun because I was in high school, you know, like most people would have been, and it had amazing perks, especially being an athlete. And, you know, traveling a lot, you know, for sports and whatnot and stuff. But my first job was at Burger King.
Oh!
Worked at Burger King for, I don't know, a while.
How did you smell after? Did you smell like burgers? Like the flame broil?
You more smell like the grease, you know, like the oil. Like that's kind of, you know what I mean? That just kind of makes its way a little bit everywhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, nothing fancy, nothing, you know, but it was fun though. I mean, I was awesome at making sandwiches. I was like super fast and, you know, I'd be doing like, you know, 3-4 orders ahead and making everything work. So it was going real quick. So, I mean, I was like super good at it, but I also just straight up didn't give a shit at that job. So I was
you were in high school.
Yeah. I was like the employee that I would absolutely hate now. So when I have, you know, employees that, you know, suck and do dumb shit, like I get it. Cause like I was that person. So it's like, if I was their age and I would probably do the exact same thing, I get it. Like, not cool, but like, that's what I would have done. So I get it.
I'm loving the decorations, Jason. I just noticed those.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. Halloween spooky season is in full season.
Spooky seasons.
Yeah, it is. It is.
If I could show you the outside, I would.
What's my question, Nick?
All right. I need a drum roll just to pause because I forgot it.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I'm going to fix that light while I think of it.
Oh, what?
You know what? I kind of like the podcast better without him. I almost think maybe next week we just cut him out. going downtown.
Down to get the question. All right, here we go. So
I would like to point out real quick, your questions for Jason are always significantly better than your questions for me. It's like every time you ask Jason a question, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good one. Then you ask me one and I'm like, what the fuck are
you talking about? So next week I'll call you in first.
Okay. Yeah, it'll naturally just work itself out. Gotcha.
All right. Favorite rom-com. Go.
God, you might see, this is the same thing with our group chat, where you ask me things that I just do not know. I don't know. This is a perfect example.
What?
I'm trying to even think of what a romantic comedy would be.
I mean, I know of romantic comedies, but I don't know of any good ones.
So I'll tell you what.
They're all good. Anything that Matthew McConaughey's in, good.
Give me three, and I'll pick one. And okay. Maybe I've seen them.
Have you seen Friends with Benefits?
Never heard of it. Next.
Is that with Justin Timberlake?
Yep.
Yeah.
No Strings Attached. Same movie, but different characters.
Here's what I'm also willing to do. I'm willing to open up the question portion on this segment to Jason. So, Jason, if you'd like to ask me a question off the cuff, because Nick asked me the worst questions for me personally all the time. Questions for you are always great for me.
Yeah, okay. Oh, man. Just
start switching.
Now I'm on the spot.
Yeah, that's how we roll, bud.
Favorite Halloween movie.
Halloween movie, good.
How about not movie related?
Okay. Favorite book.
Yeah. God, dude. Favorite tabloid.
What?
Baseball America.
God. All right. Let's just move on.
You didn't answer the rom-com question.
I don't have an answer. I don't even know. I mean, I'm sure I've seen some, but to tell
you. Have you seen the Sopranos movie yet?
I have not.
I didn't even know that was a thing. So,
yeah. No. Kings of Newark, I think. Or less.
All right. Let's get on to another thing I'm gonna suck at.
Yeah.
Let's get on to our perfect draft for the week. Let's see. I think, pretty sure, Nick, you come up with the category for this week. Was it you? Okay. What do you got? And then I didn't pick an order because I just forgot. So you're going to randomly pick the order.
Okay, great. So this week's is, because the playoffs start tonight and my Boston Red Sox are
down 1-0. I don't know. Hey, Tigers have been out of it for a while.
It's like, maybe. But they start right now. So we're going to go favorite playoff moment. And there's been a lot of them.
Okay. Favorite playoff moment. Okay. Well, who's going first?
It's going to go Jason, then Dave. Then
oh, I get the 1-1 again.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah, this was the same order as last week. Or was it? Yeah. No,
I think we went. I'm sure.
No, I went last. I did go last. Okay. All right, Jason, you get the pick for best playoff moment of all time.
I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? The Chris Bryant fielding the ground ball and throwing to Rizzo for the 2016 World Series.
I was going to cuck you and pick that.
Oh, don't worry. I've planted cucks for you.
So, okay. I was going to go with just a bunch of Tigers. That was my plan.
Tigers are involved in mine, too.
And so when Nick had mentioned this earlier today, I was really busy at work today, but I was sitting there trying to rack my brain, and I couldn't really come up with anything, oddly enough. Maybe I'm just stupid. Maybe it's that your questions are bad. Maybe I'm just too dumb for them. I couldn't think of anything. And then something popped in my head, and I remember seeing it. I say live, but, I mean, I wasn't there. I just saw it on TV. Obviously, I saw it live. Like, I mean, we're baseball fans. Like, we're not missing, you know, important playoff games. But
yeah.
I actually randomly saw this in a bar. If you knew me, you would know that I don't go to bars, like, ever. Like, it's just, I don't. Like, that's the last place on earth you'd ever look for me is in a bar. But a buddy of mine that I worked with, he was going, and it was a big game. It was, God, I don't even remember what game it was now. Hold on a second. It was game 4, maybe? Anyways. And I remember sitting there, and we were, you know, watching the game, and Magliar Ordonez hit the walk-off home run against the A's to go ahead and put them back in the World Series. And everyone in the bar went crazy. Somebody was sitting there next to the jukebox just waiting for something to happen. Had the money in and everything, because as soon as the home run hit, like 2 seconds later, Eye of the Tiger was on the jukebox. And that was not a coincidence, okay? So for me, that really – it may not be the biggest, I mean, right. You know, a lot of ours are probably going to be World Series is my guess, because, you know, it just makes sense. Yeah. And so this technically isn't a World Series. This is to get to a World Series, but this is definitely the most memorable for me. So that's why I go that route.
Perfect. Look, see, you did good. That was a perfect one.
That was the one I thought of. The rest are internet research. Heads up.
Come on.
Bro, what do you want from me, man?
You're a baseball fan.
I know.
All right, back to back, Nick.
Here we go. This one involves the Tigers as well. It's going to be David Ortiz's home run in 2013. Tory Hunter falling over. The cop goes up. It was.
Yeah, that was rough.
That was good.
That was.
Fuck you. That was good.
It was great.
You know what? Hold on a second. I'm going to fix this.
My dad was asleep on the couch. I was there. It was great.
Do I remember that. Oh, man.
All right. Next, we have ground ball to Keith Foulk, 2004. Flips over to Doug Mankiewicz. He keeps the ball in his back pocket.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I remember that. All right. Well, let me see here. I mean, the rest of mine here, my last two are going to be a little more like famous, if you will. So I remember seeing this live as well. I would have been 11 years old. And at the time, oddly enough, and I don't know why, my grandpa passed many years ago. He passed, let's see, it would have been 96. So not too long after this happened. And he was big into baseball. As a matter of fact, fun fact here, a little bit of background on myself. The reason that I am so into baseball is my grandpa actually very briefly, like a cup of coffee, played Major League Baseball. He was a catcher for the Pirates.
That's awesome.
Long ago. And so I was into baseball at an early age. If you remind me, maybe next week I'll tell you my first baseball memory. I don't think I've told you guys about it.
That'll be your question.
I'll just give you a hint. It involves Don Mattingly. So did I tell you guys or no?
Spicy.
No.
Okay. It's my first baseball memory. It's a really good one too. But anyways, he was really, you know, into baseball, got me into baseball. And it was so long ago and I was so young that I don't really remember if it was for whatever reason, he hated the Blue Jays. I don't know why. He just absolutely hated the Blue Jays. And so I do specifically remember every night we'd be having dinner and 6 o'clock news would come on and they got the sports. If you did not shut your mouth when they were going over sports scores so he could see if the Blue Jays lost, you were getting your ass chewed. So I remember watching the game, and I remember his reaction to Joe Carter's 1993 Game 6 walk-off home run. Classic moment in baseball history.
Do you want to know the only reason I know about that home run?
Why is that? You were conceived during the game?
No. Do you know who Drake is, Dave?
I do, yeah.
So Drake has a song called Back to Back.
Uh-huh.
And the cover art of that song is that home run. And I was like, who the hell's this guy? And
oh, yeah.
I looked up like big Blue Jays home run. And I was like, oh, there it is.
Nice. Hey, whatever works, man. Yeah,
whatever works. All right, Jason, I'm scared.
All right, I got two. So many to pick from, but next in line is going to be the Jose Bautista bat flip.
Yep.
I think 2015.
Yeah, that's great.
Bases loaded, I believe, grand slam to go ahead for Toronto.
I love stuff like that, though. I love the Tatis stuff and the Bauer stuff, even though you're not allowed to talk about Trevor Bauer. But I love all that kind of. It makes baseball so much more fun. So I love the bat. Yeah, that's perfect. That's a great one.
The whole stadium was just electric, and that home run was gone, man. I mean, that bat flip is like exuberant as it was basically what made the moment.
That's just passion. And I mean, right? That's awesome. Yeah. That kind of stuff. We need more of that.
Does he follow you guys on Twitter?
No,
I don't even follow him.
He follows everybody on Twitter.
Oh, he's like Urban Santana.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can tell you some stories about Urban Santana, but he's a weird one. Yeah. He started following all of us in 30 Rock all of a sudden. Remember?
No, I mean, he had followed me along. All I did was follow him, maybe 5 years ago, and all of a sudden he started following me.
He randomly followed me one day, months ago. And so I went into the 30 Rock chat, and I was like, So Irvin Santana follows me, and then there was like five or six other people who are like, yeah, he just recently followed me too. And I was like, that's weird. And then, I don't know, it was a few weeks later, he just all of a sudden randomly unfollowed me.
Brett Phillips once tweeted at me after I tweeted something mean about him.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I tweeted like, I'm telling myself that this is going to be Brett Phillips' year, but it's not. And then he just wrote back like, same.
Like, oh. He's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
All right, Jason. Yeah. Last, you want to recap your picks real quick? Or we'll recap at the end?
We can recap at the end. They got one more?
Yep. Well, you have two more.
All right. Yep.
Two more, right?
But this is yours.
Oh, hey. Hold on a second. Johnny boy here. Nice suit, Bex. That's follow through. Boy, hey, John, stay tuned, my friend. Stay tuned is all I got to say.
Birthday suit.
This one's going to, maybe hit some strings with Nick. He might be a little upset, but I'm going to take the David Ortiz home run in 2004. And I'm going to down 3-0 to the Yankees. What more do you say about that, right? I mean, 12th inning.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Great, great moment.
So I'm up, hey? All right. So I was debating between two different ones here. And oddly enough, I don't know. It was tough because I'll tell you the one I didn't go with. I'm not going to say in case Nick somehow pulls it out of his ass. Yeah, I don't think he will. Hold it. Yeah, I don't think he will. So I'll just say
2000?
No, it's definitely not 2000. So I'll just go with what I think is just maybe one of the most iconic performances. So maybe not moment. So if this doesn't count in your eyes, I will recant. But I have to say Don Larsen, perfect game, right? Mm-hmm. Way back in 1956. I mean, a perfect game before they happened, three times a week. And in the World Series, it's not a moment so much as just, so I don't know. I just don't know how I could leave that out personally. That's just like the epitome of,
Was he always good or did he just get lucky?
I mean, Don Larson's he's a good pitcher.
Let's see.
It says he went 11-5 with a 3.26 ERA that year.
Yeah.
So, good.
Multiple perfect games too. Like, I'm pretty sure. Not in the World Series, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I'm. Yeah, but I don't know. That's what I'm talking about. It's just like that it was a World Series, So,
all right,
that's fine.
All right, Nick, back to back, close out your picks.
This is going to be my one that's not a Red Sox one.
Okay.
No, isn't this his last one?
No.
No, well, we have one more round.
Yeah, it's four.
He goes back.
I already gave. Oh, we're doing four rounds. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's why I was going to say two. I thought that was the last one.
No. So I've got Pirates Reds 2013 wild card game.
Mm-hmm.
They were just chanting at Johnny Cueto. And it was so cool because the whole game, they were just like, Cueto, Cueto. It was something. Yeah. I don't think it lasted long, but like, still cool. Next.
Oh, yeah.
Which has a funny story after it. We've got, unfortunately, the bloody sock.
Quote. Oh, God. I've got some good Curt Schilling stuff up here.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got a World Series ball from that year.
Put it on the right side.
On the right side?
Sorry.
I intentionally bought a World Series ball from that year by Curt Schilling.
Oh, love that.
So, yep.
I sat next to him in first class once. That's a flex on me, Santa.
I was gonna say it's a flex on you, just
that's a good dragon
first class over here.
Yeah,
I've never sat in first class.
I was going to WrestleMania in Dallas. Well, I was coming home from WrestleMania in Dallas, and this was like 2 weeks before he got fired from ESPN. And he was covering a game. Sat next to him. I talked his ear off. The guy couldn't have been nicer. Absolute love, just talking baseball with
him. He's probably just drunk.
Yeah, he could have just been drunk.
Oh, it's my turn, hey? Okay, yeah. So I didn't realize that I had another one coming here, so I already had my other one. All right, this is at least a moment, but I don't know how we can overlook this, and maybe it's just because I'm the oldest guy in the room here, But I'm going back to 1954, game one of the World Series, Willie Mays with just simply the catch. I mean, who doesn't know that?
Is that this one?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the. Hold I on. Mean, that could be number one. Period. I mean, I don't know how you just. I don't know how I could not let that go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, Jace, finish it up, my guy.
Man, there's so many more I just want to pick. I don't know which one to pick.
I know. But, that's what I was saying. Once I looked up a list of things, I was like, oh, yeah, there's so many good ones.
Yeah, I mean, this is maybe necessarily a moment, more just a game, but Roy Halladay's no-hitter game one, 2010 NLDS.
That's like the Don Larson one, so if that counts, Halladay counts.
Yeah, RIP Roy Halladay, but yeah.
Yeah, man, I love Roy Halladay.
The Doc.
He's good.
Well, I don't even remember what all four of mine were, so I don't even know if I can recap them. So if you guys want to recap it, we can. I'm assuming most people don't care, so maybe we just hit on to the next section. I don't know. What do you guys think?
We'll recap them real quick. I think you remember.
Fair enough.
I can recap.
Yeah, go ahead.
2016, KB ground ball to win the World Series, field ground ball. Jose Bautista bat flip in 2015. David Ortiz walk-off, start the epic comeback, down 3-0 in the ALCS. And Roy Halladay's no-hitter game one, 2010 NLDS. I think, Dave, you had Maglio Ordóñez.
I went Maglio Ordóñez home run. Joe Carter walk off to win the World Series. Don Larson, perfect game. Willie Mays, the catch. And just honorable mention, I'm not going to really get into it, but just because it's iconic, the Kirk Gibson, hobbled off home run. Had to just honorable mention it.
Red Sox.
Nope. Hey, I would have went all Tigers if I had a ring.
I forgot. There was Pirates Reds too. Go ahead. You can recap.
We had Ortiz, this home run. Mm-hmm. Ground ball to Minkiewicz. I mean, to Folk, to Minkiewicz. Then we have the Cueto chance and then Bloody Sock.
Yeah. All great. But, guys, I thought this was going to be, an award show. Guys seem very underdressed for an award show. I don't know if you've ever watched the Oscars or the Grammys or whatnot, but they don't come running around here in T-shirts.
You're right. Give us 1 second.
And let me be your host for the minute here. We are going to go ahead and roll out our 2021 Fantasy Baseball Awards, similar to the Baseball Awards, where there will be, an MVP, a Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, and so on. There we go. And now he's looking spiffy.
Got me a little jacket. Look got me a little jacket. Yep. Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's see here. Oh.
And so is Nick. All right.
Hi-yo. All right. Now we're looking good. How's
now
that
we're
work?
All dressed for the moment.
All right. Got them.
Jason still looks the best.
Yeah. Well, because I'm wearing a fucking baseball jersey underneath mine. It's a gag.
You look great. You guys look great. We all look great. We're ready for this award show to begin.
All right. So we wanted to do 2021 Dynasty Baseball Awards. And I guess it's going to kind of go along the line of the, traditional awards, but obviously, strictly, Dynasty related. So we'll start off here with MVP, of course. I don't know about for you guys, but I didn't have a very tough decision on this one. So because I'm going to go first, I'll make it relatively quick here so I don't steal too much thunder, because I feel like this might be a runaway here, but I'm going Shohei Ohtani. And, it's as simple as, depending on your league and your format. Like, if you're in a daily league, the dude's clearly the MVP. You're getting an elite bat. You're getting a very above average arm to go along with it. I mean, my heart goes other places, but I think you have to give it to Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you, Dave, there. I so badly wanted to take Vlad just because of the season that he had.
Just can't do it in Dynasty, though. He's
the ratios were good.
Too far back.
Stolen bases from Shohei and the pitching stats from Shohei just elevate him to the MVP. So, yeah, like I said, I wanted to go with Vlad, but for fantasy and Dynasty baseball purposes, you got to go Ohtani.
Just to be clear, real life, I still say Vlad is your MVP.
It's going to be interesting, yeah.
I truly feel that way. And it's not a knock on Ohtani at all. I just, the difference between, Blue Jays playing for that playoff spot up until, the end, and the Angels were out of it as soon as Trout got hurt. So
I agree.
I picked Vlad.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yes. As I said on the first episode, Knicks dig the long ball.
48. I don't remember you saying that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, we need to hashtag that on Twitter.
Yeah, but I
Knicks with dicks.
Obviously, I just looked up his stats because I didn't do any prep. But yeah, 123 runs.
Far for the course.
I had no idea that he scored that many runs. And it's really a shame that the Blue Jays didn't make the playoffs. A real shame.
Yeah. You know, you're Red Sox. You have to go ahead and win that game on Sunday. Yeah.
I mean, it took them long enough. great.
John is still called the catch, my man. I don't know what to tell you. John's over here trying to give me a little bit of a hard time saying, for those who aren't watching this live or on YouTube, he's a good pull, Dave, but the catch is Montana to Clark. Mays had the basket catch. I'll be honest with you, I've never heard it called the basket catch. I've always heard it called the catch. So suck a dick, John.
So, but Knicks dig the long ball, and that's really it. He was awesome, and I don't care about stolen bases, so.
All right, let's see here. What do we got next? We might as well just reverse this, and we'll let Nick go first here. We're going Cy Young. So basically, you know, top dynasty pitcher this year. What do you think?
All right, before the show, Dave said, well, I didn't want to pick someone obvious like Brandon Woodruff
or
Corbin Burnes. So I picked Corbin
Chris Sale. Chris Sale.
No, just wait till you hear my rookie of the year. I have to do something. But
oh my God.
Here we go. Corbin Burnes, great ERA. kind of – I don't like how the Brewers handled the end of the season, but that has nothing to do with me.
I mean, punching walls and shit?
Yeah. Mike, that was ridiculous. That was hilarious, but really bad. Burnes always did well in the starts that he needed. Sub-3 ERA at 2.43. Had a lot of strikeouts. Can't really – there's a lot of guys that you could have picked for. He's probably your real Cy Young winner, I would assume, right?
I don't know about that.
The NL's up in a
NL makes no sense.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough.
Yeah, Corbin, Mr. Burnes.
I like the
pick. Hard. I mean, there's most of these. There's gonna be a handful of guys that you could easily argue. So, yeah, hard to argue with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we were talking a little bit about this before the show started, and this name came up, and I was like, you know what? I still think this can be for dynasty purposes, Julio Urias.
Okay. Yeah, that was actually that was a consideration. Yep.
We talked about it. I did want to, you know, Burnes in full consideration as well, but yeah, the 20 wins, the 2.96 ERA, which I think is still top 5 or 10. The WHIP was top 10. The strikeouts were not quite where you want to be, but that's also because of the innings. He doesn't have quite the innings that the other guys did. But to me, the 20 wins with the the low sub-3 ERA and like I think even a sub right around 1 WHIP with still I think like 100, almost 200 strikeouts. I'm gonna go ahead and give Urias the go-ahead on the Cy Young there.
Yeah, I mean that like I said, I was a guy I was initially considering, but you know. Mm-hmm. In my head at first, guys that came to mind were, a Garrett Cole, but I wrote a trash piece on him. So
speaking of Garrett Cole, he just gave up a 2-run home run to Xander Bogaerts.
So I couldn't go that route. Bueller came to mind instantly. I was looking at stats and, I was like, man, Bueller stats, he really is there. And then the wins from, Urias really stood out to me. And then as I sorted by K's, a guy really stood out to me. And then when I started comparing overall stats, Bueller and my pick Max Scherzer were almost identical across the board. The really difference between the two of them was, Bueller had 30 more innings than Max pitched. So it kind of threw off, walks and hits a little bit because their ERA and WHIPs are almost identical. But the difference maker for me was in those 30 less innings, Scherzer struck out 24 more batters than Bueller. So to me, that just was a tiebreaker. Like they were almost even across the board. Their ERAs and their WHIPs were right at the top of the league. And so it really just came down to those Ks were just a deciding factor. And Scherzer was not in my head at all when I started, you know, looking at this. But when we're talking dynasty and, you know, fantasy baseball stuff, it pretty much is about stats. I mean, that's just what it comes down to, you know. And so I just felt like Scherzer just was the guy that it had to be. Speaking of guys that it had to be, you know, rookie of the year, I did give this a good solid look. But I still came right back to the guy that I, you know, went into it thinking, and that's Wander Franco. I mean, you know, kid's just 20 years old, you know, came up to the big leagues, middle of a pennant race, and, you know, absolutely performed. And I know that, you know, the pennant race and, you know, the pressure behind all that really doesn't mean anything in Dynasty. But, I mean, I definitely think it's worth mentioning, you know, when he was doing a lot of this. But he basically had a half season, you know, worth of at-bats, 281. He hit 288. That's, you know, obviously pretty good. 347, you know, OBP. That's solid for, you know, 20-year-old. A little disappointed in the 7 home runs. I mean, that doesn't, you know, translate, you know, to a big season there. Even more disappointed than that, you know, were, you know, stolen bases. He only had 2. But an incredible 53 runs, you know, in basically half a season or so. So, you know, he definitely was there, giving you a lot of really good stats. And, you know, I don't think that it's unreasonable to, you know, throw him in the top 10 conversation, you know, for dynasty, you know, assets to have right now. So to me, it had to be Wander personally.
Yeah, I like that pick as well. I thought about that too. This one was really hard because, you know, we combined the AL and the NL. So it was a little bit harder to pick one rookie of the year. But this one's a little bit more out of the box, I thought. And I thought it was, you know, kind of shocking actually when you look at his year-end numbers. But Ryan Mountcastle
of the Orioles. That's a good picture.
You know, it doesn't get as much attention. He's on Baltimore. So I don't know why people are like, oh, yeah, Ryan Mountcastle. But finished with 33 home runs, 77 runs, 89 RBIs, and 4 stolen bases. Including a scorching hot August, which in many dynasty leagues that could either be your, you know, your playoffs or running up to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, he hit 8 home runs, 16 runs, 16 RBIs, slash 357, 397, and slugged 786 in the month of August. So I'm gonna go ahead and give Ryan Mountcastle my rookie of the year.
And you saying that is gonna make us all wonder here in a little while why the Orioles suck so bad.
I know,
but yeah, anyways, moving on.
All right, I'm gonna give you blind resume. You ready?
Okay. Which Red Sox are we going with here?
73 innings.
Jaron Duran.
73 innings. 1.96 ERA. 14 holds, 2 saves. Who is?
I'll be honest with you. I just got a text from work, so I didn't even hear a word that you said.
Garrett Whitlock.
Garrett
Whitlock.
Garrett Whitlock, shut up.
I got to hold on to my shtick.
That's terrible.
No.
You're cut off from talking about this. We're done. We're done with that. We're moving on. You disgust me sometimes.
Next,
we're going to go prospect of the year. So which Jaron Duran are you picking?
Nick York.
Actually.
Don't tell me Jeter Jones or Jeter Downs.
I could go Tristan Cassis, but I'm not.
You could, but you'd be, you know, kind of dumb.
No, the answer is Anthony Volpe.
Yeah, he was on my consideration list for sure.
You're welcome. Really, the way I looked at this is – more of like who rose the most for me, and that's mm-hmm. someone that I would like to try and get this offseason, but I'm not, because no one's going to want to get rid of him because he had such a good year. But early next year, when he struggles, when he gets called up a little bit higher and higher, I will definitely try and get him.
Yeah, good pick.
Thank you.
I am going to go with someone that's maybe a little bit more well-known, but still, I think, deserved of the award, and that's Bobby Witt Jr., the Royals.
Okay, another guy I consider, yeah.
You know, he's already kind of highly touted before the season, but the season he put up with, you know, 33 home runs, 99 runs, 97 RBIs, and 29 stolen bases across 2 levels. To me, he's the, you know, the runaway prospect of the year. Like I said, it's hard to just pick when there's so many prospects and so many risers in one season, but yeah, to me, it's going to be Bobby Witt Jr. on that for prospect of the year.
Yeah, that makes sense, man. And for me, this one's going to be a little bit unusual for a couple reasons. So, number one, I don't like to go with the obvious, which you know, kind of sound stupid whenever I say Ohtani. And then, you know, I follow that up with a Wander. And now I'm going to go with this guy. And then to top it all off, what is it that I hate? I hate pitching. I hate young pitching. And I hate catchers. And so what do? I pick Adley Rutschman. But, I mean, you know, when you look at it, I mean, if we're being fair, you know, I think he's the guy. I mean, his slash line this year between AA and AAA, 283, 397, and 514. So those are terrific. I mean, you'd like to see the batting average up a little bit, I guess, but for a catcher, that's awesome. You know, 400 on base, like get out of town. Over a 500 slugging, like that's amazing, I think, for a catcher. And he was doing this in, like I said, AA and AAA. So he's not doing this in low A or anything like that. 23 home runs, people are going to look at that and think, you know, that's nice. What I'm more impressed with is he walked 76 times and only struck out 83 times. So almost an even amount. Mm-hmm. And I know it doesn't matter for dynasty purposes, but in a way it does a little bit to the fact of this guy's going to probably see a lot more at-bats than your normal catcher. And the kind of production you're going to get from him is going to make it, you know, him that much more valuable. So the fact that he provides above average defense as well, you don't normally look at that in dynasty in any fashion. But to me, if you've got an offensive catcher that can do that, maybe that gets him an extra, 10, 15 games during the year. And that's just more counting stats. So I hate to be so lame about it, but I really think that, you know, Adley is the guy.
That's a good one too.
All right. Biggest surprise. I feel like I went so lame here. All of mine are lame, actually, now that I think about what mine the last two are.
These two are the same for me.
I just went Cedric Mullins. It's kind of easy. I mean, before the season, you know, Cedric Mullins wasn't really much of anything, you know. I wouldn't even have considered him a high ceiling guy, not a high risk, you know, high reward guy. He just was a guy that you drafted and, you know, maybe he was your fourth outfielder. You know, he's a bench piece. You just figure maybe he's going to get some at-bats, maybe bat, you know, at or near the top of a shitty lineup. So maybe you get some runs and stolen bases. But you sure as hell didn't expect to get a 30-30 season from a guy that hits 291 and gets on base at a 360 clip. Like, when we're talking, like, biggest surprises, like, it's Cedric Mullins.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah, I said earlier, we didn't want to all just go. I definitely had Cedric Mullins as my biggest surprise. No one, if you had told me 30-30 from Cedric Mullins at the beginning of the season, you'd have been like, yeah, right.
Yeah, I told you you were drinking with Curt Schilling.
Like, yeah, exactly. But I'm going to go ahead and
talking to Nick on a plane first.
I'm going to go a little bit different direction and go Tyler O'Neill. This is the kind of guy that just, you know, struck out a ton and, you know, always had that power potential, but never really lived up to it. This year, he finally lived up to it. 34 home runs, 15 stolen bases, batted 286, which for a guy that, you know, barely batted above 250 and struck out 30% of the time, it's huge, 286, and a 912 OPS. So, you know, a lot of people have been living, you know, me including, have been waiting for this from Tyler O'Neill. So I guess maybe it's not the biggest surprise. But to me, when it finally does happen after years of waiting for it, it's like it's finally it may be time for him to maybe – hopefully it's not just a one-off season of something, but that's going to be my biggest surprise is Tyler O'Neill finally living up to his hype.
Yeah, and that's what that would have been my comment to you was, I don't know if it's biggest surprise because we've been waiting for this and we knew that it was there. Cedric Mullins, none of us saw this coming. So we don't have it as a category, but like most improved would be good for Tyler O'Neill, but we don't have that category. So, I like that you pointed out because that's kind of an under the radar pick. So, I like hearing it.
Next year, we should have the About Time Award. And he would.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Added to the list.
All right. Mine was Cedric Mullins. So I'm just going to go ahead with my biggest disappointment.
Yeah.
And that's going to be Cody Bellinger. The poor guy.
Yeah.
He's just high all the time and he just can't see the ball. He's either hurt or he's high. It's one or the other. And it really sucks because he's somebody that I thought was going to be one of like the pillars of baseball coming up. And granted, he's still 26. That's fine. So, like, next year will be make or break for him. He batted fucking 165. This is a guy who was the MVP 2 years ago.
And a top five dynasty asset at the very most part.
Now he's like close to like probably out of the top 10, right?
I mean, a startup.
Oh, he's out of the top 10. Yeah.
Is he like 20?
No, he's more like 75 to 100.
Oh, okay.
He really dropped, man.
And they just have too much talent and they can just like he hasn't cashed in yet, right? I feel like he hasn't made his contract yet.
That I don't know, but that's extraordinarily plausible.
I feel like he's got to be arbitration eligible still.
This poor guy. Yeah, he's making $16 million now.
That's arbitration numbers too.
Yeah. So
he's still under team control. Like,
he's unrestricted in 2024.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
You better have a couple good years.
He needs at least one. You need one. Elite year again, because then those be like, well, maybe we can go back to 2022, Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
All right, Jason, why don't you go ahead and go?
Yeah. I think a lot of these disappointment surprises are mostly because I have a lot of shares in them in my leagues. But
however Nick, it works, man.
Yeah, right. Nick will like this one. But my disappointment this year is Gleyber Torres.
Good one.
A minus, outside of, can't really count 2020, but if you don't count 2020, we're 1 year removed from this guy almost hitting 40 bombs as a shortstop. Yeah. And he barely hit nine. If he wouldn't have had a great mediocre September, then for this pennant race, he would have been awful. Yeah, he only batted I think like 250, only nine jacks. Just a huge disappointment when you thought maybe this guy could have been. He probably was after 2019 a top three shortstop per offensive output.
So, to me, Bellinger is the obvious one. Like, he was where I was going.
Yep.
And so, instead of piggybacking on that, I just kind of was looking real quick for a backup. I should have had a backup for all these, just in case, we were doubling up. So, I'm going to go off the radar a little bit on this one. But I will say Bellinger is the pick. I'm going to go Patrick Corbin, because Patrick Corbin was an absolute disaster. And I owned him in TGFBI. I dropped him pretty quickly, because the guy was just – he was just that bad. And, traditionally he's, he's been pretty good. But, we didn't obviously see that at all this year. I'm trying to get
– you could bookmark 200 strikeouts from that guy every season.
You would think so, yeah. But,
what he had this year, but he was almost unstartable.
And I think a lot of us looked at 2020 as kind of didn't really happen season. If a guy was good, we'll wait and see. If a guy was bad, we'll wait and see. So prior to 2020, Patrick Corbin was putting up, solid numbers. He's not winning Cy Youngs and, stuff like that, but he's putting up solid numbers, struggled in 2022. Maybe that's a little foreshadowing. Struggled in 2020. But in 2022, 2021, he was even worse. We're talking about almost a 6 ERA, almost a 1.5 whip. In the day and age of strikeouts, he's well under, a strikeout and inning, like well under. And, only got you 9 wins on what wasn't supposed to be a terrible Washington team to start the year. So, like I said, the answer is Bellinger, but, a little off the radar, I think. Patrick Corbin's the guy that disappointed for a lot of people.
So the Rays are going to trade for him, and he's going to be nasty next year.
Oh, yeah, he's probably AL MVP.
Yeah.
Padres, Rays.
All right, so that's the first annual 2021 Dynasty Baseball Awards. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do next week, but I'm sure we'll come up with something fun, or Nick will, and then we'll give him a hard time about it. So I think maybe what we should do, how does this sound? We'll kind of try to figure this out real quick. I think that we should, even if we randomly draw the one of the other people, and then we do something related to their team. So like Jason would do something about the Tigers, I do something about the Sox, and Nick does something for the Cubs. What do you think about something like that?
I like it.
I like it.
Okay. So we'll figure the details out, but yeah, I think that was fun, and it was interesting to go back and, you know, kind of take a look at things as well. And I don't know about you guys, but I've already got leagues that are into next season and have been making trades all day. So
not yet.
Love it.
I'm straight so football
right now. We're full go into 2022. So
we're on 2022.
We will talk next week.
Beautiful. See you, boys.
See ya.
We'll be right back.